needs. I want to turn to Genesis chapter 22, and we're going to pick up in the sixth verse. We're going to read down until we get done. Praise the Lord. I want to remind everyone that the end of this month, our fellowship meeting, the sign-ups out back for our family and friends fellowship, we're going to have food and good time in the Lord. Amen. I'm ready. I'm glad that school started back and everything's kind of rolling. We're fixing to get back in the groove with our women's meetings, our men's meetings, all of that stuff we put on hold because of summer, but we're fixing to start it all back up. So I hope y'all are ready. Hope y'all are excited. Lots of good things happening. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's get into it. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hands and a knife, and they went, both of them, together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? He said, I see the fire. I see the wood. I know you got a knife. I know we'll make an altar. He said, I see all the parts of the puzzle except for one. He said, Where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hands and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Let's pray. God, I love you and I praise you and I thank you for all you do and all your blessings and all your many, just your goodness. That's all I can say, God, your goodness. You're so good to us. We ask you, Lord, to move in this place in a greater way than you already have. Touch hearts and lives. Destroy yokes. Remove burdens. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. God will provide. If you were to take every one of our pasts and you were to write down every time that God has done something, a miracle, given us provision, made a way where there wasn't a way, gave us what we had need of before we even asked about it or before we even realized we did, I believe that we wouldn't be able to write it down in a book. In fact, the Bible says that if everything was recorded that Jesus ever did, that the world could not contain the book because it would be so large. I know that we have testimonies of individual things that God's done for Amy and me, that God's done for our children, that God's done in our family. I know that some of you, or all of you rather, have things that God has done for you individually and just special little things maybe no one else even knows. But we can all stand up and say things that God has done for our church, that God has done for our Sunday school classes, for our sanctuary get-togethers, all these things here. But also, our nation has been blessed, our state has been blessed, our city has been blessed. We can look around and not have to look very far and find God's provision written all over his creation. Do you hear me, somebody? I want you to hear about this. God is going to do everything that he promises that he's going to do. On Sunday nights for the last month or so, I've been talking about God's promises, and we've learned about different things, and it's just a reminder, there's over 7,000 promises in the Word of God, and each and every one of them are for you and for I. Do you hear me? God's not a respecter of persons. He's not going to give one something and take one away or do this and do that. But God is going to take care of. God is going to bless. God is going to provide for every single one of us if we allow him to do it. I want to talk about physical needs for just a moment in the book of Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God knows what we have need of before we even ask it. Do you hear me? Some of us are walking through life right now. We're barely having enough, barely making it. We've been told this report and that report, this negative thing and that negative thing. And we've just been hit, bombarded. We've been lambasted. We've been talked about. We've been lied on. Some of us have just been forsaken. Some of us have felt like we're all alone in life. Some of us have had depressive thoughts, suicidal thoughts, anxiety. All this mess has come upon you. And I'm here to tell you that's all a lie of the devil, because when you feel like you don't have enough, that may be true, but your Father who is in heaven will supply your needs according to His riches in glory. It's not dependent upon your bank account. It's not dependent upon your job or your health or your own ability, but God is going to make a way where there seems no way, because He's got a supernatural holding place for everything you have need of. His resources don't have a cap. He doesn't have a limit. He doesn't have a stopping point. But what He has is unlimited, and it's greater than the necessity that you have. God doesn't have just a little bit here and there, a little dab will do you. Here's a little taste. Here's a little something to hold you over. My God has excessive abundance. Heaven is a place of abundance. The spirit realm is a place of abundance. That's why He said, out of your belly is not going to trickle a stream or a little dribble or a little stagnant pond, but He said, out of your belly is going to flow rivers of living water that will not run dry. If that's talking about the Holy Ghost, then that tells me that God's Holy Ghost attributes are some of excess. And if He can bless you with joy like a fountain and peace like a river, He can put a roof over your head and shoes on your feet and gas in your car and pay your bills. God's not a God of lack. He's not a pitiful God. But the word says, I've been young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken and their seed begging bread in the streets. God shall provide and supply all of our needs. We can trust in Him instead of worrying and being afraid and being pitiful. God's people were not called to hole up in Fort Apache and peep out a little crack and see if the booger man's out there. God's people were not called to be overly, I want you to listen to me carefully. I'm not talking bad about no kind of ways or nothing. I just want you to hear me out. There is a good thing called wisdom, and you have to be a good steward of what God has given you. But the church does not need to be overly cautious when it comes to doing the work that God has called us to do. And you say, why? Because caution will stop and stifle a move of God. Wisdom will make it happen. But caution, if left too strong, will stop what God wants to do. And you say, well, how can you say that? Because people that are overly cautious on the highways cause wrecks. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Some of y'all like to piddle-poot through town at 55 and a 75. That's who gets folks killed. Folks that want to stop at the yield sign, that's who get folks killed. When you come off of Louise Street, look over your shoulder. If there's a big truck coming, goose it and get in front of it. Huh? If there's a yellow light, don't slam on the brakes in front of me, because we're both going through, but I'll be pushing. You say, well, Brother Shelby, I don't know about all that. Let me tell you, I'm just going to be real blunt and real honest. God, if He tells you to do something, if He speaks it, that it's going to happen, you bet your boots, you bet your best hunting dog, you bet your mule and your Cadillac, it's going to come to pass. Put your chips on the table and let the Holy Spirit run it. It's going to come back, and it's going to produce, and it's going to give fruit where everybody said it was impossible. God will turn it around. Why? God will provide. You say, what in the world are you talking about? Well, let me give you just a Queen City, Texas, an Atlanta, Texas little thing that's going on here in our independent school districts. We got a program cranking up in just a few, well, it's already going. It's called LifeWise, our own, right here. Listen here, Sister Puckett. She's over the one in Atlanta. They got a different lady over the one in Queen City. They're taking our kids, and they're putting them in a big old bus, and they're toting them to a church building in the middle of the school day. Because legislature says we can't teach them about Jesus at school, but we got enough spirituality. We're going to get around that law. They can't do it at the school. We'll let them leave the school and find them some Jesus down here. They are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to elementary kids in our own county. And guess what? It never would have happened if somebody had not said, we may not have the money, we may not have the budget, we may not have the bus, we may not have the facility, we may not have the teacher, we may not have this, we may not, but my God will provide. And somebody took a step on faith and God has opened up the door. We get so bent out of shape because somebody else failed and somebody else had this problem and somebody else caught a lawsuit and somebody else had to go to prison. Well, let me tell you something. I don't know if you know this about anybody, but I ain't you and you ain't me. God may have not told them to do what they did, but if God tells me or tells you, you better get up and do it because God will provide. He will provide. When you have a need, don't take it to some sad sack, sour mouth, long tongue, gossiping, negative. Let the air out of your balloon. Huh? There's some people in this place, I just want you to hear me. You need to quit asking some of the people you're asking for advice because they're stupid and they ain't got no faith. And they don't know the Jesus that I know. And they don't have the gospel message on the inside of them. But I'm here to tell you, if you'll go to the one that can actually solve your problem instead of going to people that'll just talk about your problem, if you'll actually go to the one that has the answer, if you'll go to the one that has the healing, that has the deliverance, that has the salvation, that has the means, I'm here to tell you, if you come unto him, he will in no wise cast you out. Go to him. He's going to provide all of your needs. I got to hurry. He doesn't just give you needs, but or provide for the needs, the physical things, the sustenance, the ability to function. But how many of you know it takes strength? Huh? I'm just going to be real straightforward and honest with you. A lot of you ladies and gentlemen, well, let me just go to guys. How many of you guys have tools out there in your shop or in your toolbox, in your truck or something like that? You got every tool probably that it takes to go do some great building or go overhaul an engine or go do some big exploit, right? But guess what? Just because you've got the tool that you need doesn't mean you've got the strength to do it. I'll never forget, we were in Brookshire, Texas, and we had this piece of property. We were setting a tent up, and they said, well, we don't have but this much. I said, okay, we're going to make this tent a little bit smaller. We're going to have it set up for 300 people. We went, we popped we pulled our strings for our stakes, and we got the stake started 4 inches into the ground. We hit asphalt. It was a parking lot years before, and it had about 4 inches of asphalt that we had to drive those stakes through. Guess what? We broke 3 sledgehammer handles trying to get them things drove. I left. I said, y'all work with what you got. I drove straight to the big store. I bought a jackhammer, biggest one they had, and there was a welding shop on the corner right around from where we were. I said, I need a piece of 2 7/8 pipe, cut this bit off, weld it on there. I got some guys that are going to kill themselves trying to get this done. Guess what? They had the tools, but they didn't have the strength. But I showed up a little bit later with a big old jackhammer, and we got all of those done just like butter. It'd go through that asphalt right into the soft dirt it went. The strength was added to the tool, so the job got done. What am I saying? Some of you, God's told you things, and you've been praying for a means, you've been praying for a way, and God said, that's not the problem, my son, my daughter. The problem is you need supernatural strength to do what I've called you to do. And if you'll ask me, I will provide you the strength that you need. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, it's a familiar passage of scripture for some. It says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You say, I'm not strong enough to go through this season of my life. I'm not strong enough to make it through this valley. I'm not strong enough to get through this diagnosis. I'm not strong enough to handle this problem in my life. I'm here to tell you, you may not can handle it on your own, but God will provide you the strength to put one foot in front of the other and another in front of that one and to climb out of that valley. God will give you the strength to hold back the tears, to speak into the situation and bring forth life that you didn't even know you could do. God will give you strength when your own strength is completely gone. I love that song that says, down on my knees where I've learned to stand. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I want you to hear me out. When you are at the end of it all, that is when the greatest opportunity for Jesus to show up and to show out is. He gives us grace to endure the difficult seasons. He'll give you the ability to stand firm and not lose your mind. He'll give you the ability to stand firm and not crater and give up on your standards. Come on. You've got to understand that in this life, every bit of society hates Christian standards. We're bigots for preaching against same-sex marriage and transgenderism and the mutilation of our poor little baby girls and boys. We're considered hateful when we abstain from certain things and we flee the appearance of evil. They tell us that we're in a cult because we believe in the Holy Spirit of God and the gifts of the Spirit in operation in the church. They say that you're fanatical when you cast out devils and you lay hands on the sick and you raise the dead. I've got news for you. Call me anything you want to, but the strength doesn't come from a suit and a tie. The strength doesn't come from a building or from a pew, but the strength is supernatural, powerful, Holy Ghost anointing that God can give you to stand toe-to-toe into adversity and declare, thus saith the Lord, when everybody else is folded and everybody else is given up. God will give you strength to toe the mark. What we can't carry alone, what we can't handle alone, what we can't do alone, God will give you the strength to do it. Jesus showed us this when he could not even carry his own cross. Some of you say, well, what do you mean? Jesus was like you and like I, and sometimes the cross is too heavy for us to bear alone. But if Jesus had help, Jesus will give help. When you're walking down the hard, dusty, dirty, terrible time of your life, that cross gets too heavy for you and your strength begins to fail, Jesus will step in and he'll pick you up and he'll carry not only your cross, but he'll carry you across the finish line. God will take care of you. When you feel weak, don't give up, but draw your strength from the Lord. Somebody say, God provides strength. Praise the Lord. You know that not only does he provide strength, but he provides peace. Huh? He provides peace. Isaiah 26 and verse 3 says, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. I want you to hear me out. God will give you perfect peace. You say, well, I don't know how I'm going to handle this. I don't know how I'm going to get through this day. I'm telling you right now, there's people right now under the sound of my voice. You know what I'm talking about. You're already dreading Monday. You're dreading a meeting on Tuesday. You're dreading a situation you got to deal with on Thursday. Or you're wondering right now how you're going to take care of payroll on Friday. And the morrow is worrying your today to pieces. And you sit here and you wonder and you fret. And you brainstorm and you try to problem solve and you try to figure it all out on your own. Well, I'm here to tell you, you drive yourself nuts. Why? Because it ain't your job. If you were a grape and we squeezed you, wouldn't no peace come out? It ain't what you're made of. Come on. Oh, what do you get when you squeeze an olive? Olive oil. What do you get when you squeeze an apple? Apple juice. What do you squeeze when you squeeze a human? Stress. Huh? Because that's what our natural makeup is. We got a lot of problems. But when God comes on the inside of you, supernatural peace can overflow you, and you can't explain it. You can't describe it. You say, I don't understand how this is happening, but I've got peace in the midst of my storm. I've got a sound mind when everybody else is stressing and worrying. Somebody comes to you and say, well, how are you going to handle this situation? I don't know, but I know that God will provide my peace. When you have a surety that God will provide, there is it's just like a secondary fruit that comes, the peace of the Lord. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't understand it, but I know God's going to provide peace. His peace is greater than our circumstances. His peace will outdo your problem. It's not the absence of conflict. Peace isn't the absence of trouble. Peace isn't the absence of hardship, but peace is knowing that God can get you through what he brought you to. What we got to understand is that when we keep our mind focused on him and we get our sight and our vision and our thought process on the things of the Lord, it all just falls into place. You ever heard somebody, well, it just worked itself out. It just worked itself out. No, it didn't. God worked it out. God was pulling things together in the background. God was taking things that were broken and mending it from the inside out. God was taking situations that you had no idea about and bringing it all into order. That's a reassurance to give you peace. Praise the Lord. You may not can control your circumstances, but you can trust that God is working everything together for your good. How many ever lost something? And you thought it was the end of the world. Then it turns out you got something better. I told somebody this the other day. I treat hardships as an opportunity to an upgrade. Huh? If you got insurance and you have a wreck, you getting a new car. I mean, think about it. If you got insurance and that house burns to the dirt, you getting a new house. I mean, just think about this. The only thing you can't replace are people. Everything else is an opportunity for God to give you something better than you have. Go talk to Job about it. He got 7 times better than what he had before. Not only does God provide peace, but how many of you know that in the midst of our crossroads, in the midst of when everything is uncertain and it's shaky and we're trying to figure out what we need to do, God, please, he will provide direction. And I'm going to spend a little moment right here because I need you to understand that you cannot be led by your feelings. You cannot be led by your heart. You cannot be led by other people, but you need to be led. You need to be directed by the unction of God's Holy Spirit. They that are led by the Spirit are the sons and the daughters of God. Do you hear what I'm saying? I want you to listen to this. In Proverbs chapter 3 and 6, it says, in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will what? Direct your paths. I love what one version says. He will make your paths straight. Do you hear me? Some of us feel like we're on a roller coaster of life and we're just up and down and discombobulated. We can't tell which way. We're like a termite in a yo-yo. Y'all have heard that? Lost like a goose in a hailstorm. That's how the church is a lot of times. Well, we just don't know what to do. We just don't know how to handle this situation. Well, have you prayed about it? Have you asked God to show me where to put my foot before I take a step? Because I can promise you, he knows where every trap is. He knows where every pitfall is. He knows where every stumbling block is. And if you'll submit to God and say, I don't have the direction figured out, I need you to do it, my God will provide the direction that you have need of. We don't have to know. You don't have to know every step of the way. That's why it's called faith. You don't have to understand everything. That's why it's called trust. You think a baby understands and knows everything? No. That's why they hold on to you. That's why they lay in your arms. That's why at night when there's a noise or a storm or something wakes them up from a bad dream, that's why they come to you. Because there's comfort and there's direction and there's protection and there's confidence. in mom and daddy, our grandma and grandpa. Well, that's how we should be with God. When the lightning and the thunder roll in this world and the situations are terrible and things are confusing, and this one's telling us this and that one's telling us that, we need to have enough sense to get in a place with daddy and say, I need some help. I need some direction. God knows the way when we can't see the way, and he provides wisdom when we ask for it. We got to stop trying to figure it out on our own and let God be God. Do you hear me? There's going to be things, the Bible says, his ways are higher than our ways. Do you hear me? There's going to be stuff that's weird that God asks you to do. It's going to go against the grain. It's going to rub somebody a little raw, maybe. It's going to make somebody feel a little out of place. But it might be what gets them their healing. Let me give you a biblical example. Do you think the man that was blind was expecting Jesus to spit in his eye? Do you think he was waiting on mud and spit to be rubbed into a paste and stuck in his eye? Do you think Abraham was expecting for God to ask him to lay down Isaac on the altar after God had already given it to him? Do you think Daniel, from a little boy all the way till the day he went in, thought, one day I'm going to grow up and get thrown in a lion's den? No. God's direction. My God, help us. You think Joseph, when he got the coat of many colors, do you think that Joseph was excited for the opportunity to go in the pit and to go into the prison and to be a slave and to be lied on and cheated on? No, but I'm here to tell you, God provided a means of escape, and what started in the pit ended up in the palace. What started in the lion's den ended up as an influential person in the king's court. God's directions may take you on what we call a detour, but the detour was the journey's intention the whole time. God knows more than you do. Let him lead you, because he sees and he knows. God's not going to just provide direction, but what we read about in Genesis, you know, he's already provided you a means for salvation. Huh? But not just salvation from hell. We stop it there too many times. God doesn't, he's not just interested in you being saved from a fiery pit. God wants you to be saved from yourself. God wants you to be saved from negative thoughts and negative talks. God wants you to be saved from anxiety and depression and fear and doubt and unbelief. God wants you to be saved from a bad attitude. God wants you to be saved from gossiping and lying and cheating and whoremongering and all them terrible, awful murdering sins that everybody likes to put up there. God wants you to be saved from all that. And guess what? Not only does he want you to be, but he's provided a way. All you have to do is accept it. Go back to Genesis 22 and 8. I love what he said. Abraham said, my son, in faith, he said this, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Abraham did not know how God would provide, but he trusted that he would. He was directed. Let me just go through this and show you what I'm talking about. There was a need for a lamb, right? A sacrifice. Abraham had to have the strength to take his son, knowing that that might be exactly what he had to do. God instructed him. He said, you lay down Isaac. You go give him back to me. You sacrifice him for me. That took strength. Y'all are looking at me like I'm crazy. I promise you, there ain't a person in this place would do it. I wouldn't. I don't have the strength. I know my limitation. I could not take my child, tie him up on a block of wood or stone, and stab him and kill him and burn him up. Couldn't do it. But Abraham could. Abraham's in Hebrews 11. Shelby Crump ain't. I thank God I'm in this dispensation of grace where I don't have to take that test. But he had the strength. He was going to do it. God provided that strength. The peace, he had a peace about it. Even though he didn't know where the sacrifice was going to come from, he trusted and he believed and he wasn't freaking out, running around, oh my God, what am I going to do? How am I going to do this? I've got to kill my son. He didn't do none of that. He shut his mouth and he did what God told him and he was peace. He was peace. He embodied peace. In the direction, God gave him the order. God gave him the steps to take. God said, you take the wood, you put it on the altar, you build the altar, put the wood on it, you take the boy, you tie him up, you place him there, you do exactly what I'm telling you to do. He followed it to the dot and the tittle. You say, well, why haven't I received what God's going to provide for me? Well, have you followed the direction? Did you skip step 4, 5, and 6? And now you got a gallon bag full of nuts and bolts left. And the slide's leaning. Y'all know what I'm talking about if you've ever put something together for your kids. You got to follow the steps or you end up with an inferior product. I'm trying to help somebody today. And I know y'all aren't shouting me down. And I know y'all aren't really excited about this. But I'm here to tell you, God's going to provide. I'm praying for a revelation for some of us in this place today. Because we cannot get where we're going if we go the wrong direction. But he made that sacrifice. Abraham prophesied there. And he not only talked about here in Genesis, but also what Jesus would do. He didn't know how he would provide it, but he knew that he would. He had peace. Isaac needed a sacrifice in his place. Huh? Isaac was the one that needed it. God, please send a lamb so I don't have to die. I can imagine that must have been going through his head when he was laying on that altar. This makes no sense to me, God. I can't understand why my daddy's tying me up here. I can't understand what I'm going through. I can't understand how bad this is. Some of you are like Isaac right now. The devil has you bound up. The devil has you placed on an altar of death. The devil has you messed up in your mind and in your spirit, man, and everything is going crazy, and you're sitting there wondering, God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you let me get on this altar of death? Why am I in this position? I'm here to tell you, God will provide. Just keep on going. Just keep holding on. Keep doing what God's told you to do. Because in the last of the last, at the very moment, God's going to send in a ram in the bush. This was a picture of the greatest sacrifice that was ever made in this earth. The Son of the living God was killed, was nailed to a cross, was crucified, so that we didn't have to be killed, eternal damnation in the devil's hell. But Jesus became the sacrifice for our sins so that we could never provide on our own. Let me say that again. God made a way. God provided a sacrifice that we could not provide on our own. I tell people it's like this. You have $1 million debt. Some of you have enough. If you were to liquidate everything and get everything in order, you'd probably pay that off. But let's just say something crazy. $1 trillion debt. $1 trillion debt. There ain't nobody in this place. There's only one man in the world that has $1 trillion, and it ain't liquid. If I said, you got to have it right now, could you get it? Anybody? Could you get $1 trillion? No. That might as well be your salvation. If the judge stood up right now and said, I need $1 trillion or you're dying and you're going to hell for all eternity, not one person here would have any ability to do it. But it's like God said, you give me what you have, if it's $5, and I'm going to write you a blank check signed by grace in blood for whatever the difference is. Don't worry about it, because I'm going to provide what you don't have so you can get what I have. And I'm going to end here. Some of you are past that. You've had Jesus in your life. You asked him to come in to save you, to change your life, to change your mind, to change your heart, to destroy yokes, remove burdens. And you get on victory. You get on excitement. You get on cloud nine. And then the devil comes knocking. A little temptation comes in. A little thought. You see somebody that make you mad. Tempted to sin. Tempted to freak out. Tempted to go back to what you used to go back to. Something on your phone, something on the TV, something in a book, something driving down the road. The devil uses all manners of things. Quiet time, when nobody else is around, he starts to tempt you in your own brain and in your own mind. And this is what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. I'm going to wait till you get that up, Brandon, because I want everybody to read this. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. Not only does God get you an opportunity to be saved, but he gives you an escape from temptation. I want you to hear me out. I want you to focus on me. God wants you to prosper, even as your soul, your spirit man, your supernatural things prosper. Did you hear me? He wants your total man, your total woman, your total being to be prosperous, healthy, and function the way that it should. You, as a Christian, filled with the Spirit of the living God, have power to overcome temptation. And I know some of us in this place struggle. We beat ourselves over the head when we fail, when we falter, when we mess up. We have condemnation issues. We have problems in our past and things that we struggle with in our present that affect our future. But I want to give you a little encouragement right now. If God could provide a saving grace lamb, then God can provide a means of escape so you don't have to fall in the same trap every time when you're tempted. You don't have to continue to talk the way that your mama did and your daddy did. You don't have to continue to be how your grandparents and your aunts and uncles were. You don't have to stay in the same rut that you've been in since you were a kid. You don't have to fight the same thing that you've been fighting for your whole life. It's time that you find the door and leave out of that trap of temptation and say, I am coming out of this grave. I'm coming out of this repetitious failure, and I'm getting off of this mess before it kills me, and I'm turning over a new leaf. Why? Because God will make a way. He will provide a way of escape. It says here, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. Do you hear me? He's already going to bat for you and keeping things off of you that you can't carry on and deal with yourself. He's fighting for you. He's at war for you right now. He's saying, Satan, you can't put that on my boy. Satan, you can't put that on my daughter. Satan, you can't press them any harder than you are right now. Devil, you've had enough. Get away from them. They've gone through enough. Get off. I don't think anybody hears this, what I'm saying this morning. I know some of us, when we wake up, the devil knocks us right in the face. You don't need to put up with that any longer. You need to say, greater is he that's within me than he that's within this world. I'm not going to falter again. I'm not going to fail again. I'm not going to sin that way again. I'm not going to be that person anymore, because God provided a means of escape. Tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. What am I saying? I'm saying that God sees what the plans are before they come to fruition. He sees the weapons that are being formed. He sees the attack that's fixing to launch. And he said, devil, if you're going to bring them to a problem, I'm going to bring them a solution. Devil, if you're going to bring them a sickness, I'm going to bring them a healing. Devil, if you're going to give them a night of no sleep, I'm going to give them rest. Devil, if you're going to try to put depression and anxiety on them, I'm going to give them peace, and I'm going to give them joy. Devil, you're going to try to steal their praise, I'm going to give them sevenfold the shout on Sunday morning. You say, devil, you try to take their kids, I'm going to give them twice as much that they had before. They may take a run out and be a prodigal, but they're going to come home with a ring and a garment and a fattened calf on the table. God's going to make a way of escape. He's not bringing you into a place of failure, but he's setting you up for the greatest victory that you've ever imagined. Praise God. It's common. It's the way it is. Until we get out of this earth, we're going to be tempted. Don't let the devil tell you that you have to be that way. Don't use it as an excuse either. But you fight and you move. He doesn't always remove the temptation, but he always provides a way of escape. We must be willing to take the way that God provides. We got to get up and do something uncomfortable sometimes to get out of our cage. We got to get up. We got to say, I'm not going to put up with this anymore. I'm coming out of this problem. I'm coming out of this cave. I'm coming out of this place. When temptation comes, don't look for an excuse to give up or give in, but look for the way of escape. James 4:7, it says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. How many of you know that God provides? And I want to give you a little increase in your faith. It does not matter how far you feel you are away from where you need to be. It doesn't matter how far away the finish line looks. God can move heaven, and God can move earth and take something that should take 100 years and make it happen in an instant. And God can fix things like they never happened. He can, words that have been spoken, hurts that you've experienced, lies that have been told, betrayal, brokenness, God can mend it that quick. What do you mean? Because God created it all. It's nothing for Him to provide a fresh start. We don't need to just pray, God, give me the ability to deal with what I'm dealing with. We need to say, God, give me the strength to deal with what I have to deal with until you fix it like only you can. Because I'm here to tell you, God has greater things for you than what you can imagine or what you can think. Tell me if you'll come. This morning, if you say, Brother Shelby, I've been struggling with my needs, my finances, my physical needs. I mean, I can look around. At least everybody in here has got clothes. Everybody in here, at least you have the ability, I would say, that you've at least eaten something. Nobody in here is about to die of starvation. I would say that you have some mode of transportation because you made it this morning. I would say you have somewhere to live because, you know, I don't think anybody in here is just completely homeless. But I'm talking about the struggle is real. You might have it today, but you're worried that tomorrow it could all fall apart. And some of you, it may be that way. Some of us in this place, we don't know how we're going to pay our bills or how we're going to take care of our kids or how we're going to make a way. But you know what? My God will provide. And I have been in positions before when I was at the bottom of the barrel, but I felt like that lady the next day. What meal I used before was enough in there the next day. Wasn't no abundance, wasn't no full barrel. Kept scraping the bottom, but somehow God kept putting enough in the bottom that every day I had enough. Some of us in here, we say we need our family saved. We need salvation provided for my family, my kids, my loved ones, my distant relatives, my friends, my neighbors. God will provide. He'll give you a way. He'll give you the words to say. He'll give you the thoughts to think. He'll give you the prayers to pray. He'll give you the direction. There's people in here, your direction's off. You say, I don't know where to go from here. I don't know which way's up or down. I can't even think straight. My peace is gone. My joy's gone. God will provide. The key to it is to stand up. And not worry about who you came with or who you didn't come with or who's with you, who ain't with you. And say, Jesus, they can't fix it. Brother Shelby can't fix it. That piano ain't gonna fix it. My praise can't even fix it. My worship ain't gonna just break it through. I can read that Bible all day. But God, I need you to make it come alive. I need you to speak. I don't need to just read about you. I need to hear you. I need to feel you. I need to sense you. I need you to grab me up and say, baby, come on and let's get through this. And you may not understand this. Maybe you're on cloud 9, and I pray that God keeps you there. But I'm here to tell you, when you wake up and you're surrounded by dead, dry bones and you're the only living soul, and you wake up and you found smack dab in the middle of the valley of the shadow of death, and everybody around you has cursed you and thrown you aside or forgotten you or got busy and neglected it, don't be disheartened, because they ain't the one that died for you. They're not the one that made the way for you. But Jesus paid it all. And he wants to do it again and again and again and again. As many times as you need him to, he'll come alongside and say, come on, I'm going to provide. It's on me today. I'm going to take care of your need. It's on me today. I'm going to take care of your peace. If you say, Brother Shelby, I need to get up. I need to get up out of this valley. I need to get up out of this situation. Then I believe God's going to do it. You're already there. You just need the manifestation of the supernatural to take care of it. So if you need the Lord to provide for you, why don't we pray? Why don't we gather together? Why don't we do what God says to do? Two of you touch something and agree and happen. Three-stranded cord, not easily broken. Two or more gathered in his name, there he is in the midst. We've done all that stuff. Let's put our faith to movement and action. And let's release it to let Jesus do what he wants to do so the God of provision can provide. If you want prayer this morning, if you say, I need encouragement, I need God to do it, just get up. I ain't gonna count. We're out of kindergarten. We can all count to three. If you need the Lord, just get up. Just get up. God's gonna take care of it. And come meet me here at this altar. Let's pray about it. Let's give it to the Lord, and let's open up our basket and say, fill it up, Jesus. Anybody, come on quickly. Provision's on the way. God's going to provide. God's going to provide. Hallelujah. I'm going to wait just a moment. If you've got to go, you're free to go. I kept you 1 minute after 12, and I don't apologize. Jesus. I need some men, and I need some women. Listen to me. I need some couples, men and women, to come together. I've got some couples here at the front of this church. They're asking Jesus to touch their life. I need a couple women right here. I need a man right here. We're going to bear each other's burdens. God is going to provide. We may not sense it. We may not see it. We may not feel it. We may not understand it. But I've got news for you. God is going to provide. Those of you that are praying, I want you to get right behind them and listen to me. Once everybody's in position, I'm going to give you explicit instructions. Hallelujah. You know the power of death and life is in our tongues. The Word of God says what we bind on this earth is bound in the heavens. What we loose on this earth is loosed in the heavens. And we have the power and we have the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ on the inside of us. So you've got to do a little homework. You've got to help me. If you're praying for somebody, I want you to come around in front of them. Come on quickly, we got to move. What they tell you, I want you to listen to me. What they tell you is confidential. If I hear word of anybody spreading or talking about, I want us to feel confident that we can tell what we're dealing with without worry. I want you to ask them, what does God need to do for you? What do you need provision in? What are you dealing with? And I want you to feel them. I want your heart to burn. I want your mind to have compassion. I want them to tell you. Come on quickly, find out. What do you need God to provide? Let the Lord speak. If you got to go, you go. I love you and Jesus loves you. We're going to take some time here this morning. Wait just a moment. Keep on going. Y'all talk. Figure it out. Thank you. All right. Once you figure out what it is, I want you to start calling that thing to fruition. If they need a breakthrough in their finances, call it forth. In the name of Jesus, we declare that there's freedom from debt, there's freedom, whatever it is they need, and money's coming. If they need their family saved, we're calling forth salvation right now in Jesus' name. If it's peace, we call forth peace right now. Joy, we call forth joy. Whatever it is that they need, direction, God give it to them. Declare that thing, speak it into fruition, and make it happen. Release your faith. Declare it done. And allow the Holy Spirit to give you direction. If the Spirit's speaking to you something to tell them or something to say, obey the Lord. Pray the prayer that God gives you. Don't be afraid to prophesy into those dead bones. Let the Lord have his way. I want to pray a blessing over y'all that are here. If y'all need to go, you can. Father, in Jesus' name, be with them as they leave this place. Bring them back here safely tonight. Let them go as they go in the power and the might of the Lord Jesus Christ. Angels, protect them. Lead them and guide them. Direct them. Show them where to go, what to do, how to do it. In Jesus' name, I ask you, Lord God, to take care of them. Amen.